on here?
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker. But you are not a Jedi yet.
You are a vain, greedy, cruel boy.
You are an old man and a fool!
You're unworthy!
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Hey! Take those headphones off right now!
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Anybody care about what I want?
I do.
Shut up. Get out.
Are you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I got a bad feeling about this.
This drink, I like it. Another!
No. I am your father.
Guys,
I'm bringing the party to you.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Welcome to episode 4 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm Joe Hogarty, and joining me are Patrick Hackett.
Yo!
And Ron Deanna.
Hey, howdy, hey. Oh, wait, that's Justin. Jason. Who is that?
That's Jason. You could say something again.
Let's...
let's keep that in.
Yeah, let's leave it.
All right. This will be a special episode of Nerd Alert where we will be discussing the big Marvel movie for this year, Avengers Age of Ultron. It's out. We have all seen it. Some more than once, and we will be discussing the movie, what we thought of it, what we really liked, and what we really didn't like. We are going to get into spoilers, so just a warning ahead of time. We'll basically discuss what we liked about the movie, but we're going to go right into spoilers right after that. All right, so joining us this week on this special Avengers Age of Ultron roundtable is an old friend of mine from St. John's University days and a Marvel aficionado, Jack McCarthy.
Hello, everybody.
Without a doubt, I'm just a lowly apprentice compared to the vast knowledge that Jack has regarding all things Marvel and Star Wars. He knows his stuff. Also joining us is Taylor Catcher, who has his own podcast called The Cardboard Box.
Yeah, hi guys, how you doing?
And Taylor is a huge comic book fan, and he really knows his stuff too, in regards to all the Marvel movies. Alright, so let's get started, and I want to know what everyone thought of the movie. Ron, could you tell us your impressions?
I generally liked it. I think it could have been slowed down a bit, and I understand there is a longer cut out there that might not be action scene, set piece, action scene, action scene. I mean, the best scene to me was the ones where they're sitting around and have some character development talking, and I don't think there was enough of that, but that's my only complaint for the movie. Otherwise, I thought it was a really excellent, fun movie. It's not my favorite Marvel movie. I don't think it's been the most fun or the most serious on either end, but it was just solid straight through.
Patrick?
I'm pretty much right in line with Ron. I felt like it was really leading up to the movies that we know have already been announced in the future, but I still felt it stood alone enough that it was entertaining. I agree, the action sequences are well done, but I really think, as is the usual with Josh Whedon, you get that really great dialogue between people, and I enjoyed it a lot more when they were being people and not superheroes.
And Jack?
Well, it's similar along the same lines. I mean, I liked it in a lot of regards where I thought the action scenes were great. I love the fact that Ultron had such a great endgame in it that was really straight out of comic books rather than what we see as sometimes the Hollywood, what their idea of a comic book endgame is for the villain. No spoilers yet. But on the other hand, I thought if they were going to do the character moments, they should have gone full on with the character moments. I thought a lot of times they started to get into it, but then they kind of pulled back to move the movie along. You know, that they should have gone for it a lot more with some of the conversations between Iron Man and Captain America to really show where these guys are really starting to form a wedge between them on their beliefs. Like I said, I thought it was very good. Otherwise, I would say it's in my top five of the Marvel movies.
Okay. And Taylor?
I mean, I agree with everything that everyone said, but I still think that it's my favorite Marvel movie up to this point. Like, right now, this is just, like, my... It's everything I want in a blockbuster superhero movie. Of course, I want more Joss Whedon dialogue, because we all love Joss Whedon's dialogue. And there is, like, we said, like, a longer cut out there that's supposedly the, like, director's cut that's going to have more stuff. But every moment of that movie, I've seen it twice, and it's just, it's great. It's, I think it's my number one so far. It's just excellent.
Well, that's pretty impressive that you can rank it so high. Yeah, I'm going to say I liked it. I didn't love it. I thought it was good. Didn't think it was great. My issue was that there was too much character development for some of the characters, and I kind of wish they would have pushed back on that. I was kind of looking for it to be a lot more action, and I think that kind of slowed down the pace of the movies. But we'll get into that, into spoilers. And now that I mention it, let's get right into spoilers, and we'll go right through the movie. First thing we're going to talk about is the movie starts out in Sokovia, where the Avengers are taking down factions of Hydra. What was your opinion on that?
Great opening. Just solid cinematography, solid action. Reminds us who each of these characters are and what they can do without having to, you know, go into forced exposition. You know, it was a great follow-up, right? You know, S.H.I.E.L.D. ended last week perfectly to feed into that.
That's my problem. My biggest problem with this movie is not that it's not my problem, but it seems like some of my friends that aren't as in tune with comic books and the way comic books work is that this movie started out and everything was already happening. And I mean, I was like, great, give it to me now. Like, I don't need any intro, but I like the intro, and I don't watch S.H.I.E.L.D. So I didn't learn until this morning that there was, like, Call in the Avengers on S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, that happened. And then that's why they were there. Like, to me, I was like, oh, I'm sure there's a reason they're there. And I'm just going to infer that maybe Tony Stark picked up the phone and was like, Asgard, like, to the operator. And then he's like, Thor, you want to come and help me attack these guys? And they're like, sure, why not? And I was like, cool, that's the problem, no problem. And, like, I'm fine, like, just believing that that's what happened. And
do you think, like, Tony has the technology to call Asgard?
I mean, he could. We don't know. It's a comic book. It doesn't matter. That's the best part about comic books. I love comic books, and they're grounded in their own reality, but their own reality is not our reality. So maybe Tony does. I mean, obviously not this Tony, and so I'm sure he doesn't. But I got to the movie, they're all fighting against Hydra, and I'm like, oh, cool, it's a Hydra guy. I'm really excited. Let's have him kill that guy. Good stuff. It was Baron von Strucker, right? It was von Strucker?
Yep, Strucker.
Yep.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, man, great. Love those Hydra villains. Like, and I was just excited that it happened. And to me, it felt like the Volume 2. If you take a comic book off the shelf and it's a Volume 2, stuff's been happening, right? You just have to believe that you're in the middle of it, and you're just like, well, sure, stuff's been happening. And I didn't know that S.H.I.E.L.D. led into this, like, to the point where they're, like, calling the Avengers. And I was like, oh, I probably should watch that S.H.I.E.L.D. show. Because now it feels almost to the point where these Marvel Cinematic Universe movies are comic books, in the fact that if you pick up a trade comic book, it's not... If you pick up Spider-Man Volume 1, it's not actually Spider-Man 1 through 7. It's Amazing Spider-Man 3 through 4, and then Spider-Man Annual 0, and then something like this. And that's what these movies are now. You'd have to watch the Marvel one-shots on the Blu-rays, you have to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you have to watch the last Marvel movies just to even know what's happening.
And I think at a point in time, maybe later on in this episode, maybe another episode altogether, we can discuss if that's okay or not. I mean, in this movie, I think it worked out a lot because it got us right into what a lot of people want to see, and that's those action sequences. And, I mean, right off the bat, the one spoiler that I got before going into the movies is that the team-up offense was something straight out of a video game. And right off the bat, we're seeing these cool combinations. You're seeing that they work well as a team in the field. And I thought that was cool. I didn't think that you really needed the lead-up from S.H.I.E.L.D. And it was cool if you do watch S.H.I.E.L.D. I was excited because I follow S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm like, all right, cool. This is exactly what they were talking about. We know the twins are there. And then they tell us anyway that the twins are there.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I know that I could have read that. I missed that issue, but it doesn't matter, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter because I'm just like, oh, they're together. I'm totally happy watching Captain America throw a motorcycle into somebody and then the Hulk blow up a bunker. Like, I'm already like, I already forgot that I don't know what started in the first 5 minutes because I'm just enjoying every moment of this IMAX 3D experience.
Because well, that was it, too. I mean, the fact that the way they did it, you saw, hey, you actually kind of bought, hey, they're a team now. they were fighting much more as a unit than they were in the first movie.
Yeah. Yeah, very much more.
And I thought that's what I kind of liked. I mean, I watched S.H.I.E.L.D. too, but I'm a little backed up on my DVR where I haven't gotten to see the episode. So it's like I was watching and I'm like, hey, look at that. It tied in. I thought that was a nice little way to wrap it together.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the opening, but I mean, it kind of reminded me of James Bond opening.
Very, yeah. Very good comparison.
Yeah, that's actually real excellent. It's very, very appropriate. He's in the middle of a mission already.
Yeah,
it's tied more directly in than a Bond one does. I mean, the Bond one usually seems to be just something else. It usually doesn't have the full feed into the full movie, which this did.
Yeah, it's true. But it does start the movie off at a bang, and that's what this did. My only issue that I had, though, is I kind of think that it reminded me, and I don't watch too much of this, of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And when I say it reminded me of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it kind of felt like TV to me when I was watching it.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I never
get that feel at all. It was much bigger than what they do on TV.
There's no budget that can support the Hulk walking any frames on television. Like that, the CG for that is just enormous. And you would never see a motorcycle being thrown at a car and then a Quicksilver guy grabbing arrows, and you didn't see that coming. I don't know. I just feel like there's no way I could have seen that on television. I watch a lot of superhero TV, and they just make the Flash run really slow. You know, like that's how they do fast. It's not, you know, or don't show them at all, and then something moves.
Yeah, it's just something about it. I just kind of felt it was lacking. I mean, I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong, but I also feel like, I don't know, it just kind of felt very TV to me. I'm sorry, guys.
I like that there was the one realistic moment when he asked one of the henchmen to hold them off, like, if they could hold them off, and he's just like, it's the Avengers! No!
The whole theater laughed at that, and it was so funny. What, they're the Avengers?
Well, that was it. I mean, there were a lot of things like that happened so fast on
screen. Yeah!
That people kind of missed it. Like the classic song, the good line of, I'm sorry. I laughed out loud and no one else, I don't know if anybody else caught it or heard it because they were so wrapped up.
There was a lot of really good Robert Downey Jr. almost under his breath kind of lines that, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, or the, like, when he was like, please be a secret door, please be a secret door, please be a secret door.
Yes!
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. was great in that. I mean, he's always good as Tony Stark in Iron Man. But there were a couple of one-liners I don't think really hit the mark, but his always did.
And I think Captain America was so much Steve Rogers. I mean, like, Chris Evans, I guess. He's Captain America. He is Captain America. But in this movie, it almost felt like it was an older, more experienced actor playing the part. And I admit that may sound weird, because I know Cap 2, like, he was pretty experienced, but it just seemed like, okay, this is Captain America, even more so than the Avengers, because it took him a while to get there. Maybe it was the new suit. Maybe it was just the way that he just held himself. Maybe he's more muscular. I don't know. But there's something about him. Maybe he obviously is an older person now. It just seemed like he's wise and he's older and it's good. I don't know. I just really enjoyed Captain America in this movie.
Oh, I think it's also Chris Evans. I think he's getting even more comfortable in the role.
Yeah,
because one thing that I've always found about him playing Captain America is Captain America can really come off as a little bit of a old-fashioned square, mm-hmm. and he plays him, and he's so earnest that
yes.
he's quiet.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? He really is Captain America. He is a good guy. He's not just a big blue Boy Scout.
And I'm just gonna say this as one of my favorite things about this movie. In general, and not just this opening scene, is they didn't focus on the characters who have their own franchises as far as character development. We really didn't see a lot for Tony, for Captain America, and for Thor. They focused more on development for the secondary Avengers that don't get, you know, a headline. And that's what really I think they did great with the characters in this more than anything else.
But I didn't like that. I didn't want to hear anything about Black Widow's past. I didn't want to see her flirting with the Hulk and all that. That stuff just bored me to tears.
Oh, I loved every moment of
yeah, making, man.
Making Black Widow and Hawkeye have a reason to be on that team was more than half of this movie, and they sold it. Like, it was... I was buying why Hawkeye's there. I was buying why Black Widow's there. And I was buying her backstory was fantastic. They don't need a whole movie. They did it in like 3 seconds. It was great.
Oh, especially after Agent Carter. It was nice to see, hey, this is what happened to her when she was in the Red Room.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't know that. Wait, Agent Carter was in the Red Room too?
No, the...
It looked like a prototype for it, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, they had already laid the groundwork for the Red Room and Agent Carter.
Neat. Man, I need to watch these darn shows.
Yeah, I think, really, Taylor's hitting on something that you have to be committed to all of this. Like, I am on the fence about seeing Ant-Man, but do I have to watch Ant-Man? Because if I don't watch Ant-Man, I'm going to be lost in Guardians 2?
Yeah.
So that's... I mean, I enjoy these movies, but it's not my life.
It's too much. And that's what I bought. There was an article today that I read, and that's when I realized how overwhelmed I became immediately overwhelmed. Because to me, like they're already asking a lot from the average movie-going audience that you have to have seen 10 movies before you see this movie. But to say you have to have seen 10 movies, 3 TV shows, if you count Daredevil, right? And
Daredevil has nothing to do with anything, though.
Eventually, though. By the time you get farther, like, they're expecting you to have seen... I mean, because Daredevil talks about the Battle of New York. It doesn't talk about Ultron, so...
Does talk about Ultron.
Does it?
I've watched... There's a couple little subtle jokes about Ultron in there.
Man,
I think it was before Ultron happened.
According to the official timeline, it is before Ultron.
There's a couple jokes alluding towards the events of Ultron, but yes.
But yeah, so I mean, the point is, but then it's those threes, and then it's there's like 4. I didn't even know these existed on your Blu-rays of your Marvel movies.
The one shots.
Things, yeah, I did not know that these were a thing, and I would have watched them had I known. But they didn't. I'm pretty in tuned, I feel like, to this world, and I didn't know. And so there's what, 4 or 5 one shots. You've got 2 seasons of S.H.I.E.L.D. at this point, or about 1 season of Agent Carter, an Agent Carter one shot, and all of Daredevil that you should have, or they expect the diehards or the people that want to understand everything to have seen before Age of Ultron. Whew!
I don't think they're necessary. I think Avengers 1 is necessary. I think they kind of anticipate you've seen the movies, but nothing else. I think everything else, they give enough of an explanation as to what's going on.
Except
that you don't have to watch them. It adds a lot to it if you do. But
I
still enjoy what you see.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, no, I agree with what you're saying, Ron, except the part which you pointed out about S.H.I.E.L.D., that there was an episode right before Avengers Age of Ultron that would have helped if you would have watched that episode to see.
Yeah, I think that before that I found out that there was an episode that said, let's get the Avengers together, you know, I would have said, well, it's all kind of supplementary. So Captain America 2 affected the show S.H.I.E.L.D., right? That's okay. The movie affected the TV show. But when the TV show starts to affect the movie, that means the TV show is something I have to watch.
Hmm.
And also, like, we're already in spoiler territory, but maybe did they talk about in S.H.I.E.L.D. where they got that helicarrier? Is that something that was in the S.H.I.E.L.D.
show? No, he basically – if you watch S.H.I.E.L.D., though, you understand that S.H.I.E.L.D. is still operating. In fact, that, you know, spoilers for S.H.I.E.L.D., there's 2 branches of S.H.I.E.L.D. that are still operating.
Maybe a third now after this movie.
So, but see, that's my point, though. Like, but to me, as a person who's read tons of comic books, I'm perfectly fine just knowing that there was that issue or that the story somewhere. Somebody knows why this happened, and I'm completely comfortable thinking, oh, that was in the Nick Fury number 32. Where he got the new helicarrier, and that's there somewhere. Somebody knows that that exists. Someone that's read all the comic books, you know, or seen all the shows. And so watching Avengers 2 for me, I was like, oh, I'm sure they explain this somewhere. Like, they're not dumb, and they're not trying to confuse people. So there is a reason that Tony Stark made new armor. I don't know what it is. He got rid of all of his armor in Iron Man 3, but...
There's been no explanation for that. There was no explanation where Fury's been or where he got the carrier yet. So that stuff...
And I didn't even think he needed it, though.
Yeah, that's my point, Jack. That's where I'm at. It's like,
the whole point of the helicarrier is just to crash eventually anyway.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying is, like, that half the point, like, I had I've had people complain, like, well, where'd this happen? I'm like, who cares? Like, it happened.
Yeah, that's true.
Love the fact that it did happen and that Iron Man is in his suit and that the helicarrier did show up so they could save all the civilians. Like, just, it's a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Why are you so angry Just Hulk punched Thor. I mean, Hulk and Iron Man fought in a giant battle. What does anything else matter? Nothing else matters. Like, it's so good.
Well, I think that there's a lot that matters. And, like, for Joe to be saying that he didn't care about the character development, I especially appreciate it. The one thing that I think really went unnoticed is that Natasha and Clint, Black Widow and Hawkeye, for those who don't know their names, have been fooling us with this quote-unquote romance to protect the fact that he has a family.
I was thinking that too, because the people are like, oh, well, did Hawkeye and Black Widow have a thing in the first Avengers movie? No, they didn't. She knew he had kids, and she was protecting his identity. Friend. And that's her best friend in the whole world, and that's why they're so close, and that's why she's so concerned that Hawkeye was brainwashed by Loki. Because not because it's her boyfriend or because they have a thing, but because he has a wife that has two kids at home.
Yeah.
And she needs to make sure he comes back. And it adds so much depth. And the Hawkeye story scared me so much.
Me too.
Because I heard rumors that someone was going to die in this movie.
And you thought they were setting it up to be Hawkeye.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I was so scared. Because I'm like, there's too much like love here. There's all this like, he's not going to come home. He's the only human guy in the Avengers. Yep. I'm like, oh no, please no, please. And they tricked you to that last second. To that last second. Like,
and even the character that took it said what we were all thinking.
Yeah, he didn't see that coming. I was like, oh no, I was so scared that whole movie because I'd grown to love him even more because I love comic book Hawkeye. Like, I
Me
love
too!
Hawkeye.
Oh, so Taylor, much. We're kindred spirits.
I know, this is amazing. Like, I love Hawkeye and I read his books. Like, I'll read a Hawkeye book. And maybe not. I won't necessarily buy the next Iron Man. But if someone says, "Oh, there's a really good Hawkeye book out there," like, I mean, give it to me. I need to read that because he's quippy, he's smart, but he's
Pizza Dog.
Yeah, Pizza Dog. You knew exactly what I was talking about too. Pizza Dog, and just like so much about Hawkeye is amazing, and they just didn't do it. Like, I knew that he was great. So watching Avengers 1, I was still like, "Go Hawkeye!" at the end, but there was nothing that sold anybody else on him. But when they did, he was just such a central character, and they gave him such a reason to be on that team, and he just sold it, and it was awesome. Like, he's like, I have a, what was the line? It was like, there's robots outside, and I have a bow and arrow, and he's like, none of it makes sense. it was fantastic. He's so great. Hawkeye, and Joe, I don't know why you don't like Hawkeye. It hurts me.
Oh, no, I like him, actually. I was mostly talking about Natasha.
You just hate Black Widow.
I don't hate her. I just feel that I just didn't like the storyline that they were going with. I mean, I found out recently, too, that the reason why they focus so much on her is because she was pregnant, and they wanted to kind of give her something to do without her having to show too much. I know that they used, like, a blue screen to hide her pregnancy, but for some reason he felt the need to give her more lines. I honestly think that she had the most lines in that movie, even more so than Robert Downey Jr.
I think Ultron had the most lines in that movie. That guy just wouldn't stop talking.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just going to say, like, regarding Black Widow and the Hulk thing, I just didn't like that. That whole lullaby thing just made me sick. Seriously, though, I mean, if the Black Widow, if she's going to stroke the Hulk's hand and relax him, wouldn't that just get him more excited?
Okay. Well, let's keep it PG, but I think that I don't think that would ever happen realistically. Not that it's weird to talk about comic books realistically, but I don't think that her and the Hulk would be a thing. But I didn't hate it. I was like, okay. I mean, I was okay with it in the moment. I don't think I avidly was angry about it. They needed some way to calm the Hulk down, and they don't have, you know, they don't have a She-Hulk, and they don't have a Betty. Like, where's Betty to help him? Nowhere.
Oh yeah, where the hell is Betty? That's what I want to know, too.
Where are any of the significant
All the ladies were gone.
At least,
yeah, you know, that's right. They were all solo this time out.
I thought that, though, the testosterone fight of my lady's better than yours. Actually, let's just talk about that loft scene. The fact that it's pretty much, without the fact that there was no action in it, one of the best scenes of the entire movie.
Agreed.
Okay, can I comment back to the Widow and Hulk thing?
Oh, sure.
Why, yes. I think it makes sense. Because she sees herself as something like the Hulk. She knows of that monster inside her for everything she's done, and that she's trying to be better than that. That's why I think her and the Hulk kind of make sense to me.
Well, that's a good analogy. I'll agree with you there.
that's what they said, right? That's kind of like her point was like she felt like a monster because like she was sterilized or whatever, which isn't comic book accurate, right? Because we know that her and Captain America have a kid in the comic books, but in a future thing, there is Avengers Volume 1 by Bendis, right? And so that's – it's fine though because it's a different universe, right? The movie universe, you could just be like, different thing. It's all different. It's fine. And I liked her backstory a lot. I thought it added a whole other dimension to her character that she didn't have. Just like Hawkeye did, and that's a really good point, Ron, about the fact that she herself has a hidden monster inside, just like he has this hidden monster.
And not even just, you know, the sterilization thing. I mean, she is like the ultimate like wet works. Yeah, like she's killed more than everybody.
Yeah, very true.
Hey, Jack, you want to say anything on that or?
No, I mean, I was so on it, but I thought it worked. I mean, I didn't see it as something that was going to last. You know, I figured they would have wrapped that up in the movie somehow or another. But then again, I thought they were going to blast the Quinjet into space.
Yeah, they didn't, though. Joss Whedon just talked about that. They don't have the rights to make a Hulk movie because that's owned by, like, Universal or something. And so they can't do his own movie. So the producers and Kevin Feige, I think that's how you say his last name.
Feige.
Didn't want them. Joss Whedon wanted to allude to the fact that he was going to shoot himself into space, and they were going to originally have him like breaking the atmosphere, but they decided to keep it in sky because they don't have a way to make that movie, so they're not going to do it.
It's possible that they still could do that, though. I mean,
well,
first
they could
of
have
all,
always just blast him into space, and then guess what? The Guardians of the Galaxy stumble on the Hulk.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
And bring him. They just happen to be coming back during the second part of Infinity War. When all the other heroes seem to assemble, you know?
I love that.
Who wouldn't watch a Groot vs. Hulk fight for like an hour?
I think Groot would just wrap him up like a baby. And then he would
swaddle him. Little swaddle.
Right back into little Groot.
No, I still think that, I mean, regarding what you said about Universal, I heard that too. Like, they have the rights to the Planet Hulk movie. Mm-hmm. But I also think they could probably strike a deal with them.
Yeah, because that movie.
They could strike a deal over Spider-Man. They could strike a deal over the Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
But it depends on how much Universal wants. Like
Universal wants a lot, and I guarantee that Universal and Disney, I mean, the rumors and the rumblings are definitely there. They're talking about more than just a Hulk movie, and the rumblings are getting louder and louder that eventually the theme park rights are going to go back to Disney. Listen, Disney prints money, and
they're
going to get what they want.
I mean, they got Harrison Ford back as Han Solo, and that says a lot about the amount of money they print.
Breaking news just come out today. I don't know if anybody else had the story, but I saw it on our site, WWNT.com, that there is confirmation of a fifth Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, and maybe the other, and Boba Fett might be the other breakoff movie, too.
We always thought that would be, though.
They were closer to it. I think it was, like, more about it. I don't know, more
rumors. Yeah, Patrick, did you see who wrote that story?
Was it you?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Just got home.
There's been talk that that's one of the ways they got Ford to sign on to The Force Awakens was to promise him a new indie film.
Yeah, I remember that rumor going around. I might have read it on Joe's article. Okay, well, I'm going to point us back to that amazing loft scene because I think that's where we were at. And then how great was that scene? Like, everything about it. Like, they had, I mean, so many, all the sub-characters they didn't even know were in that movie. They had Rhodey in there, and they had Falcon, and they were just at this party with all these other people, and they were just talking about superhero stuff and, like, drinking crazy old ale, and there was Stan Lee, of course, and I don't know. It was excellent.
Well, see, I had an issue with Rhodey. I mean, he seemed like he was way desperate for attention in that scene.
He was!
That's the best part, though. He was desperate for attention.
I don't know. I didn't like that. I thought he was a lot stronger than that. That he would need attention, but
he's a non-super in a room full of supers. Of course, he needs attention.
I loved him telling them the story, and they were like, "That's it." And then Thor, like, he's always trying to be a good guy. He's like, "That's a great story." And then like he tells it to like other people, and they're all laughing, and he's just happy about it because that is a cool story. But it's not a cool story when you're hanging out with Iron Man, you know. And that's what's funny about it. Like, he is super, but he's super on a different level than these guys. You know, he's just like kind of super, And I'm glad that Iron Patriot's gone, because that didn't make any sense to me anyway.
Oh,
I'm
glad
it's back to War Machine. But no, that whole thing, I mean, the hammer stuff with Captain America moving it, and just the look, I mean, the acting on Chris Hemsworth's part
during that. Beautiful.
Amazing. Because you really believed he was truly nervous. And like, to act like you were just really nervous for a quick second and then calm down, it's got to be difficult. I can only imagine. And it was amazing. Just amazing. And that led, of course, into Vision. And like, just that part, like, it was, you didn't realize, you thought it was just a fun thing that they wrote in there, but it was so much more important to the plot than you even knew, that it was also brilliant.
Definitely the best, you know, section of the movie, I think. Just, it was all character development in a fun way. You knew there was action coming, and you knew there was action behind it. You just, the break was fine. And that's what the second half of the movie felt a little too fast-paced without something like that in between it.
Well, you had, in the second half, you have that one, and I honestly think it's the best scene in the movie. It was my favorite scene. You have that one scene where you have Hawkeye giving Scarlet Witch the rundown of everything, and that speech, I mean, it's a lot of character development. It tells you a lot about Hawkeye. You know, it gives you that fight or flight moment for Scarlet Witch, and I thought that was great. That loft scene, like, if the entire movie just took place in the loft, I'd be cool with it.
I would too. I'd read that whole entire series of comic books of just them, like, because it's like, because you know the characters so well at this point that you're just loving their interaction, and it's Joss Whedon at his best, you know, writing this stuff, and it was just excellent, just excellent.
No, I did not like the Bruce Banner and the Black Widow thing going on there. That just bored me to tears. That's the time when you go out and you get popcorn if you don't have it. Or
there is no time in this movie you have to get popcorn. They cut all that out.
I just said that was the time.
Oh, man.
But I thought that it was funny, too. I mean, like, when they were having a little drinking game, and Thor brings his little flask of Odin Schnapps or whatever it is.
I don't believe it's Odin Schnapps, but I feel like we should call it that now.
Yeah, that's the new name.
Odin Schnapps.
I thought it was weird he was carrying it around in his pocket. I would have liked if he would have, like, called up to Hemdell and say, Schnapps!
Hemdell, bring me the Odin Schnapps!
That does Hemdell deliver.
And it was good to see Stan Lee there. He's always cool.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, this is sad, but it's going to be one of these times, man, he's just not going to be in those movies anymore. And you're just going to be like, oh, like, it's not.
Oh, they better digitally insert Stan Lee into every movie.
If they can do it with Tupac, they might as well do it with Stan Lee. They got the Disney money. So.
I still think he's the Watcher.
He has to be the Watcher eventually, right? That's what we find out.
That'd be awesome.
All right, let's get into the twins. What did you think about them?
I enjoyed them. For some reason, I was annoyed at their accents, even though I'm sure their accents were very good.
Oh, yeah, me too. I kind of agree with you there.
So annoyed.
I just was like, I don't want them to have these accents anymore. I don't know. I know that like they were probably very accurate Slavic accents, and it's great, I'm sure, but I just was like, I don't care. I don't know. I really like them, the characters. I bought that their drive. I thought that it was interesting that, you know, you might be like, well, why would they blame Tony Stark? But they were kids, right? So they have this weird hatred for Tony Stark, even though it's not necessarily him they should be mad at. It was his company, or might not even have been his missiles, as we saw in Iron Man 1, that people were stealing his missiles and using it. You know, terrorists were using them. So it was, I liked their character development. I thought they were a little naive, but they were naive. Like, they were trapped children that were raised by Hydra to be these super weapons for a purpose that they thought was noble for their entire lives. So at that point where they realize that they're working for the wrong guys, you kind of go, okay, well, they're growing up now. They're realizing there's something more.
Well, that's just it. I thought they were idiots. I mean, did they ever watch The Terminator? I mean, couldn't they have figured out that this guy was...
No, they didn't watch The Terminator.
In a locked in a room that we saw at the end of Cap 2, I think it was, running around, separated by a wall, being poked and prodded with the Mind Stone in a staff left by Loki so that they could become weapons for Hydra. They didn't watch The Terminator. They didn't watch Avengers 1. Like, they're stuck in a room being brainwashed by psychopaths.
Maybe they have to watch Terminator 3 over and over again as some form of psychological experiment.
Well, you know, it's okay. It doesn't it's not that bad because just Doomsday changed. And you're like, Judgment Day changed. You're like, wait, that doesn't make sense in the time travel they set up in the first two movies. I don't get it. And it's fine. But
well, I mean, I knew you were saying that they were there like most of their lives. I don't believe that, though, because they just got the scepter recently.
No, man, those events are a while ago.
And they might have just got the scepter, but they showed them being like messed with. Like, they showed them as children. They were not adults. They were children in – was it Cap 2? I feel like it was Cap 2 because it was leading into the Avengers.
Yeah.
At the shawarma of Cap 2, as I like to call it, and it's fondly known, was them, but as children, like Quicksilver running around and Scarlet Witch having issues with like her glowing red hands. So you can imagine that was right after their crap blew up.
I don't think they were children back then.
They were. No. That is in the scene.
They're I mean the after credit scene?
Yeah, but the after credit scene might not be at that time. It might not have been after Cap 2 that they were children. But it was just showing that this was happening. Whether or not it was happening right then or it was happening 5 years before that, we don't know. But it still was happening. These children were being turned into weapons for Hydra. And so they didn't have it. I mean, it's like there's no world except for Batman The Dark Knight Returns where you can have a TV in the middle of a desert and no explanation for it. And so they don't have a TV in their little awful jail cell. I don't know.
Even if they weren't in a cell, they were in a third world Balkan country, basically.
Yeah, and so who knows what kind of Hydra could have pulled like a China and like fixed the words in that movie, and so the robot was the good guy. We don't know. Like it could, if it was, you know, dubbed. We don't know. I don't know how that works. Comic books, Joe. You just have to believe that they were naive and trapped, and they didn't get it.
And I think that's why there's so many haters going, that they're forgetting that these are comic book movies. You know, you don't have to need a rationale for everything. Not everybody needs a backstory.
And I think that it's weird to think that we're the ones defending that when if you go back to something like Batman and Robin, we're like, this is ridiculous. Daredevil, Ben Affleck, that wouldn't happen. But now we're like, look, they're already so accurate. They're doing so well that just give it a rest. Like, it doesn't, everything doesn't have to be The Dark Knight, because guess what? The Dark Knight wasn't really a comic book movie. It was a crime drama that had Batman in it. And so if I want a comic book movie, I'm going to go to the Marvel movies because they're actually comic book movies. They're fun. They're lighthearted. This movie was hysterical. The trailers did not show how funny this movie was. And I was worried going in. I was like, oh no, it's going to be real serious. But they really brought that levity and it was amazing. And that's great.
Well, I'm going to say, again, regarding the twins, they didn't really call them Quicksilver or Scarlet Witch.
They never call her Quicksilver, and they only, like, slightly referred to her as a witch in a very negative way.
But I liked them. I mean, I thought that they did a good job. Like Taylor said, yeah, I thought she was kind of pushing it with that accent. She kind of sounded like Natasha from Bullwinkle. But, and I also, another thing that bothers me with her, though, is she's an Olsen. You know, I'm kind of sick of the Olsen twins, and every time I see her on the screen, I just think,
are they actually related?
Yes!
She's the youngest Olsen. What's funny is, actually, speaking of related, so the Aaron Taylor Johnson, who played Quicksilver, and Elizabeth Olsen, who played Scarlet Witch, are brother and sister, twins, but in the movie Godzilla, they were married and had a baby.
Awkward.
Same actors.
And I'll tell you this, too, in so Paul Bettany, that plays Vision, he's married to Jennifer Connelly, that played Betty in the first Hulk movie.
Let us never bring up the first Hulk movie again.
Okay, well, I'll write a note on that one.
Yeah, that's a good note to take. I mean, vicious Hulk poodles and crouching tiger, hidden Hulk. My big problem, and this is because of just the way it is, and it's like this in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too, is that it's beating us over the head. They're enhanced. They're MFing mutants. Their dad's Magneto, and he should be there trying to help them.
They retconned it, man. Even in the comic books, they retconned it.
Retconned some faces.
Believe me, I'm just as upset as you are, but Marvel is, I mean, they're just like, they even didn't, in the comics, right, they had Magneto tell his kids that they were inhumans or they were not mutants. Pretty sure they did that relatively recently, just to give a you know, just say whatever to you, Fox. We don't care. You know?
Yeah, it was whatchamacallit. Scarlet Witch cast a some sort of revelation spell, and then it's like, well, wait a second, you're not really my dad.
Yeah, and it's so easy to do something like that in a comic book, just to be like, we're writing ourselves out of this one, that it's fine, and it is annoying that they aren't mutants, but it's also interesting that Quicksilver's the one to die, because he's also alive and well in the Fox franchise, so it's like, did they kill him off because they don't want confusion, and they just wanted him because they needed the twins, they needed her to have the brother, and then...
Well, you need her to have the brother to set up those moments of instability to lead to, you know, I don't know, House of M? I'm not really sure. Like, because we all know that she's had moments where she has ripped the entire fabric of the world apart.
Well, he's definitely going to be back. I mean,
I don't know, man. He looked pretty dead.
No, yeah, Hawkeye... Hawkeye took the body with him. He wouldn't have done that unless they wanted him back for another movie.
I mean, they do have that chamber, right? They have the cradle.
The Lazarus pit, right?
Yeah, you can assume that they're...
Ra's al Ghul, you go see him, you put somebody in the pit, it's all good.
No, there's a couple of things, too, because like, what they could do, too, is since he's kind of an inhuman and he has this super speed, his cells can regenerate, and he might have the power of healing himself. We just haven't seen it yet.
Well, we're assuming his cells have... I mean, he isn't the Flash, necessarily. He's genetically modified, so maybe he doesn't. Like, we don't know. I mean, it seems so when he was barely annoyed that he got shot through the arm, which was a funny part. But we don't know that he can super heal.
Well, you know, I'm just saying that that could be.
Sure.
And there's also... There's the Infinity Stones, too. And I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people dead that are going to be coming back to life in Infinity War.
Yeah, with new actors, with new contracts.
Exactly.
They haven't killed enough.
That, we're going to hit the point. That's got to happen.
I don't think they've killed enough people yet. I feel like Thor should have died so that he could Ragnarok could happen and he could come back to life. And then Civil War, they could make a clone of Thor.
Well, I think Captain America is going to die in Civil War. And
Ragnarok is the next Thor movie, so he's either going to be Thor or take the Odin seat.
Speaking of Ragnarok and Thor, I thought that stuff was just a waste. Him going swimming in the pool and all that stuff. It didn't really make sense, especially if you're not a comic book fan. I mean, people were probably saying, what the hell is this? What's going on? And it just kind of dragged the story a little bit.
I mean,
no, I'm going to agree ahead. With Joe with that.
Yeah, I don't know where that kind of came from. That came out of left field, kind of.
Well, did anybody see the article? It was a joke article, but it was basically saying that was kind of forced on Whedon to keep that in to set up the future movies. If he wanted to keep other things he wanted, they told him, you need to put that in.
Really?
And it was a satirical article talking about it, but it seemed to be coming from a place that said that was true. But you know what? I will say, there were no women in the theater complaining about Hemsworth taking a bath.
He is a handsome man.
Well, I think that The difference between this movie and Avengers is this movie acted not only as a capstone to a phase, but also as like a middle movie, more so than almost any other middle movie ever has.
That's
for the most
my big
part,
complaint.
Most middle movies are the best one because they just like, you can talk about Empire, you can talk about The Dark Knight, you can talk about, I mean, almost any sequel. The third one ends up being weaker because the middle one just made everything awesome because everything's just happening and you already know the characters, everything's great. But I think that they're actually going to make Infinity War 1 and 2 like the movie, right? That's going to be all of the suits you could possibly imagine with all of the powers and all of the screen, and it takes two whole movies of giant fights. And so this movie acted not only as a capstone but as a bridge, and so they had to have Ragnarok ties, they had to have Civil War ties that I feel like they forgot about at the very end of the movie, and then because Cap and Thor were just too happy to be together at the end of the movie. Like, they should have been a little bit more...
You mean,
well, I think
you
Cap
mean,
and Thor are kind of on the same...
I mean, I'm sorry. I meant Cap and Iron Man.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think they set that up pretty well, that there was the decent amount of tension between the two of them. And this whole, quote-unquote, middle movie, I get what you're saying is, like, the second one's the best, unless, you know, you're talking about, like, Jaws, because the first one will be the best.
Right. Well, yeah, like, the first or the second one, for the most part, you can say
right.
are gonna be the best.
But this movie just felt so directionless, so rudderless. It's like, well, we're teasing you with a little bit of this, that, and the other, and it's all going to be resolved over the next 5 years.
No, I think that they... I kind of agree with Taylor. I think that they blew it with Tony and Steve. I think that there should have been a lot more tension when Tony left the group at the end to lead up to Civil War. Because it's kind
of... the next movie.
Yeah,
it's well, I mean, I guess kind of you could say Ant-Man, but I think Ant-Man's technically Phase 2. So.
Yeah, and it's just it's kind of weird. I mean, that... Because now they're going to have to build tension in the beginning of that movie, and they're going to have... 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours to do that whole movie. That could have been taken.
You don't think there's enough tension between Cap and
No,
and
there was plenty until the very end. Like,
yes.
It was building throughout the movie.
It's not like they gave each other greeting cards and warm hugs. I mean,
they
I still.
Did.
They did. They hugged each other.
Yeah. Yeah, but I hug my enemies all the time. I saw Joe and I gave him a big hug. It was all good.
I knew you were kidding, Patrick.
I don't know. I completely disagree. I think there's definitely enough tension. I don't think that little scene did anything to really get rid of it.
I don't know. I would have handled it differently, but that's just me.
The end,
go ahead.
I think the end cap of Ant-Man is going to be, you know, our Civil War feed-in. If it's, you know, some sort of incident like... Oh god! If they could put Speedball on screen, screwing something up and causing
a giant explosion,
yeah.
If they're never Speedball gonna do that because they don't have the universe that exists. That there's, I mean, I guess maybe Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be. Maybe it's gonna be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that's gonna build that up with all these Inhuman. Well, not well, whatever they are. I'm not watching enough. I think they're Inhumans, but
they have
all of these superpowered low level, low tier people that they could have cause that explosion. That causes this entire issue to happen. And I didn't think about that till just now because you don't see them in the big movies. And like I said, now we have to watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
I mean, if you're really thinking about S.H.I.E.L.D., it could very well be Sky, Daisy, you know, Quake, whatever you want to call her. I mean, it could very well be her that causes this because the whole registration stuff, that storyline in S.H.I.E.L.D. is very, very big.
Yeah.
And,
I don't think they'd even need to go that far. Because, I mean, they could look at it that it's coming out of the UN. That the UN says, hey, you know, look, if we just had the Avengers come in, and they may not have necessarily trashed that country, but they were involved, and they just kind of came and went as they wanted to. It may just be an issue where the UN and the Security Council says, hey, this isn't going to happen anymore.
That's
that
true.
Somebody's got to rein these guys in. I don't think we need a replay of Civil War where... some young superheroes blow up a school in Connecticut or something.
Yeah, that let's not do that.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, well, we should avoid everything to do with actual things that kind of just happened.
Yeah, so exactly. I'm thinking it may just be the UN Security Council calls and says, hey, you know, these guys got to be reined in. I mean, because in Captain America 2, weren't all these S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. heads, all these, that council, they were from all over the place. They weren't just U.S.-based.
Sure.
Maria Hill says on the Quinjet to them too that, you know, you're very low in the popularity polls with the world
now. True.
That's true.
Also, her name is Robin Scherbatsky, or
Robin Sparkles to her friends.
All right, so let's talk about Ultron. And Jack, what did you think about Ultron?
Well, maybe I'm going to sound a little off here, but I didn't think he was scary enough. He sounded like he'd get on a really good roll, and then he would break into almost Robert Downey Jr. speak a little too quickly. Like, that first scene when he became aware, I thought was awesome, when he's like, where am I? Who am I? What is this? But when the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver run out of the room and he's like, hey, guys, that kind of little scenes kind of pulled me out of what Ultron is from the comic books. Also, the character design, I wish they had stayed closer to the comics where the face wasn't as emotive, I guess.
The lips. It's the lips.
Yeah, the lips were pulling me out whenever he's going on a tirade. And I'm like, how the heck is metal moving like tissue? You know, maybe it's me being nitpicky or something, but I would have rather had that cold robotic thing with, I don't know, and simulate the Kirby crackle in the mouth somehow, and the glowing red eyes a little bit bigger, just to make him more inhuman. And I was kind of waiting for him to start referring to people as meatbags, as he has in the comics, you know?
Did get the shot of the classic Ultron as one of the, you know, the Ultron bots was fighting. You do see the, like, you know, glow coming from inside the face right before it gets, like, destroyed.
Right.
You do see at least one shot of that.
That's kind of like what I wish the main Ultron looked. You could have made the other bots blue glowing and just left him as red to differentiate him. I also kind of missed the line, like Thor breaking down a wall and saying, "Ultron, I would have words with you." You know, just certain throwbacks to the comics. I wish we had seen, but I mean, I thought Spader did a good job with them. It's just sometimes the dialogue got a little bit too familiar, a little not as inhuman as I would picture Ultron being.
Go ahead.
I think that you hit it with your first comment that it goes into Robert Downey Jr. territory, because that's what Ultron's personality is based off of. Is it's Tony's? It's Tony's personality that's in there, and it's Tony's creation. I thought Spader did an incredible job. I thought he tiptoed the line between creepy and a little bit of naivete in there, and I felt like his big, long, supervillain speeches were great, and the time that he was like, yeah, exactly, I'm just going to stand here and explain you my whole plot of what I'm going to do. No, he didn't. He did action instead, and I thought that was great.
Monologuing.
Yeah, caught monologuing.
I really liked Ultron. I think he was a little Dr. Doom and a little less Ultron. But they don't have Dr. Doom.
Taylor, it's funny you say that, because when he did the whole part with his endgame, we've already spoiled it. And I've said this numerous times on other things about the problem with Dr. Doom in the movies. Dr. Doom doesn't shoot a missile at the Baxter Building. He has the whole thing picked up and thrown into orbit.
Right.
The whole part of Ultron devising, like, let me lift this country up out of foundation of the ground and then drive it down back as a missile. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, this is a Dr. Doom plot.
Yeah, it felt very Dr. Doom. And, you know, I know we're never going to get that Dr. Doom we want because Fox is playing with us. So I appreciate that now.
He's a blogger now. He'll give a bad Yelp review.
Yeah, he's the one who's giving Ultron 75 out of 100. But it's just, I like the Dr. Doom review. The only problem I had with Ultron, the lips were weird, I agree, but the only problem I really had with Ultron is, when did he become an earthbender? Does anyone know when he became an earthbender? Because when he was fighting Cap on top of that semi-truck and Black Widow was following him, he kept lifting the ground.
Yeah!
And breaking it, and so to, like, stop her, and I was like, when did he get the power to telekinetically move Earth with his mind? I don't remember that happening. I don't know what was cut, maybe, or something to explain it, but he was earthbending all over that street.
Yeah, I thought there might have been energy blasts we missed that were knocking the ground up.
No way, man. I saw that twice, and I watched real close the second time, and it was just, nope, earth breaking and moving up to, like, for no reason. There's no energy blasts. Unless I don't know.
I don't know.
Gravity beam? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I just want an explanation. That's one of the few times where I'm like, no, I don't care that I'm not going to listen to my own self saying, it's a comic book movie, leave it alone. I need to know. How did he do it?
Yeah, I kind of liked him. I mean, I'm not familiar with James Spader's work at all. Oh, I'm going to ask you guys, what is he in? What is he famous for?
The Blacklist is that show he's in now.
He did a great guest in, I think, a season and a half on The Office.
Yeah, no, I thought he was great.
Johnny California or something.
Robert,
right?
California, yep. He was amazing as Robert California.
Yeah, like I said, I thought he was great.
Movie?
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, no, I just thought he was great. I thought he added charisma to Ultron. And my biggest fear with Ultron was that he was going to be like another Terminator. I know I'm bringing up the Terminator again, but I just didn't want him to be too robotic. But it did give him some sort of character, and he was able to express emotion. And I kind of liked that for some reason. I'm not too familiar with... I know a little bit about Ultron in the comics, but I didn't read all of Age of Ultron and the original Ultron comics. I still think he did a good job.
Age of Ultron either.
Wasn't that good,
He wasn't even in it.
Oh, really?
I don't think, actually, did Ultron himself appear at all in it? I don't think he did.
Oh, he, no, he was in for a bit. He started things off, but then it kind of went off when they got too wrapped up in the time travel thing.
But, my thing with Ultron, this movie was very Tony. It had his ego. That's why Ultron did the things he did, as opposed to what we would have seen in the past with destructive Ultron. And I think that played off, that he was Tony's creation and not Pym's, who was kind of broodier and moodier.
No, I agree. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, so let's get into the new guy that's in on the Avengers, the Vision, played by Paul Bettany. What did you guys think of him?
I thought he was pretty good. I mean, we didn't get to know him all that well, but I like the fact that he came out and broke into the classic, oh, we don't know who it is, let's just punch it first. You know, but I thought they did a good job. I like the character design on him. I don't know how I feel about him holding on to an Infinity Stone as a power source or something.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. That's going to be like Frosty the Snowman when Thanos finally pulls that from his head.
Well, I don't kind of, well, that's the other thing that I don't quite get, where they're going to go with Infinity War, that Thanos is letting all these things float around.
I agree,
didn't
Jack.
Did he give Loki the scepter?
Yeah, that makes no sense. I mean, if he's going to collect all those stones, why would he hide one in a scepter and then just give it to Loki?
Yeah, Loki then lost two Infinity Stones in one attempt to get one Infinity Stone.
Yeah,
in Avengers.
You know, I'd expect him, or, you know, at this point now, you'd expect Thanos saying, "Oh, I'll do it myself." But
I mean, that's what he did say.
He did say that.
That's like verbatim.
He knows.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you could just see him just basically landing on Xandar, walking into the Nova Corps building, and just pulling the thing out of the vault. Then taking a trip to wherever. I mean, here's a guy who, he trashed Asgard, including Odin, at one point in the comics. I can't see him, if he wants something, he's going to go get it. He's not going to play around with this. Oh, yeah, here, I'll give Loki one of these stones in the chance that we may get a cosmic cube out of it. I don't get where they're going with that aspect in it. Unless Thanos doesn't exactly know the forms these Infinity Stones are.
I'm sure he'll have all of them by the end of part one.
Part one will end with him snapping his fingers, probably.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
His Spidey senses are tingling. Vision. I thought Vision was really good. I liked Paul Bettany. I liked the kind of allusion to the Scarlet Witch Vision romance.
Yeah, I love that.
When he went and picked her up, and I was just like, thank you.
that was definitely a nod to comic book fans, and I really appreciated that Whedon put that in there.
It was awesome when he grabbed Thor's hammer, you know, and everyone's like, oh, that's why he's good. We understand. And when he did the, it's really extremely well balanced. He's like, well, that's why you need it's for the swing. It needs to be well balanced. All that was great. I thought Vision was great. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else to say about it. It was weird that the Infinity Stone was in his head, but I think that's the only complaint I had.
Yeah, Vision was one of my favorite parts of the movie. I really enjoyed him a lot. I enjoyed Paul Bettany's portrayal of Jarvis as well, and I think this was a great step up for him. The Infinity Stone in the head, again, is troubling, and it does lead me to believe that he will have his downfall in one of these movies. But, you know, I thought he did a really great job. He was an enjoyable character. But why is he able to pick up Thor's hammer? Like,
he's worthy. Know.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was maybe because...
How is he worthy?
Because he's like an elevator.
Could be, or it's the fact that he was basically brought about because Thor gave him that boost of the Odin magic.
Maybe.
Or an Infinity Stone's more powerful than Odin in the first place.
Or he's just, he's not bad.
I agree with Taylor. I just think that he's worthy.
But Cap isn't either.
But Cap is human, and so can be fallible. And so is not worthy of the power of Thor.
And regarding that, too, I've said this before. I'm pretty sure Cap probably could have picked that up, but I think he just didn't pick that up in order not to freak everybody out. But he showed that he could move it just to kind of freak Thor out a little bit.
Well, I mean, Cap has wielded Mjolnir before.
Yep.
Yeah. And so has, I think, like, I mean, Black Widow did at one point too. So I thought that was I liked that she didn't do that because she had done it in the comics.
You know, and
I thought it
was that line was fantastic. Yeah. No, I don't need the answer to that question.
Yeah, because you know if you read the comics that she does lift the hammer at one point, so it was like, man, that's kind of fun. But yeah, I don't know how much there is more to say about Vision. It's just that I think he was awesome, and I think we all agree he was awesome.
Yeah, I thought he was great. I mean, I thought Paul Bettany did an excellent job portraying him. I was kind of worried about it when I first saw him with the human eyes and all that, but it worked. I mean, the colors looked really good. They were a little muted, but they still looked pretty good the way it was. I liked how the cape, he kind of looked at Thor, seeing that Thor had a cape.
That was cool.
Yeah, I like that. That was a nice touch.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And he's just such a likable character. You can tell, and again, this goes back to that he's worthy, that he cares about the human race. And you just see that he's got good in his soul, especially when he was talking to Ultron towards the end. I really love that speech at the end. I thought that was probably one of my favorite parts of the movie. And it just was filmed so differently, too. It just didn't even feel like the same movie when they were shooting that scene. I don't know, I just really enjoy him, and I've always told my friends this too, because some of my friends only know Avengers through the movies. I said, if you were to play a word association with me when I was a kid, and somebody said the Avengers, I would say Vision, because to me, Vision was the Avengers when I was growing up back in the 70s. He was him, Scarlet Witch. I'm trying to think. I guess Captain America, Iron Man, but Vision was front and center. I mean, he was a very popular character of the Avengers, and I'm glad that they finally gave him his due. Alright, let's see. Alright, so let's get into the big fight. Hulk and the Hulkbuster. What did everybody think about that one?
I thought it was great.
It was a fun fight. I think it was kind of an unnecessary fight as where it was. I kind of wish they did go with Grey Hulk like they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of would have made a little more sense. It was fun, but it didn't serve that much of a purpose, given that the stress was already coming into the team with them having figured out Tony created Ultron and all that. It just wasn't needed to have the repeat from Avengers 1 of, oh, the team's got to fight the Hulk again.
I don't know. I think that was one of the highlight fights in the whole movie for me, because Marvel just basically showed DC what they should have done with a Superman versus a superpowered other being fight, period. Like, that's how you do it. That's how you do Superman versus Doomsday. That's how you should have done Superman versus Zod. Tony Stark did everything he could in that Hulkbuster outfit to minimize civilian casualties, and even at one point said, we gotta take you out of the city, away from people. It's like, thank you, superhero, for doing what you're supposed to do. He checked the building before he pile-drived him into it.
Great. That
fight was amazing.
That was a great touch. I'm in the middle between Ron and Taylor, and I thought it was an alright, fun action scene, but I feel like I could have got a lot more of the stuff that I liked. Now, it's not the stuff that Joe liked, but some character development, some more stories, because I feel like the twins kind of flipped the script relatively quickly. They're like, oh crap, we're on the wrong side. Okay, we're good guys now. They didn't have that moment that you want to see, and so I felt like it was an unnecessary fight, but everybody wanted the Hulkbuster, and everybody wanted to see it, and it was there, and it was cool, it was fun. So I'm not like mad at it, but I just felt like that time could have been better used.
I know that Patrick and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and I said this to him. I felt that the trailers and all the TV spots ruined that for us. I would have loved to seen that first in the theaters and not known
what Veronica was, and not even known at all. Trailers are doing that a lot lately. Like, I was listening to your guys' podcast last week, and I was trying to avoid that Terminator spoiler, and then I forgot that I was trying to avoid the Terminator trailer that gave away the John Connor stuff. And then I was like, I was trying. But then, of course, when you see Avengers, you can't avoid the trailer then, because it was right there front and center. But, you know, it was just like, it's one of those things where trailers, they're trying too hard to be, look at us, how cool we are, and giving too much away. Like when I went into this movie, I didn't expect it to be as funny as it was, because the trailers were not funny. Like, there was kind of, but I was almost worried that it wasn't going to be very funny. And I was like, that's weird for a Joss Whedon, you know, Avengers movie not to be funny. but like that, especially the first like Got No Strings trailer, not funny. You know, it was pretty darn serious.
Yeah.
So I think that they could have kept it at Ultron's a bad guy, and then they could have had the Hulkbuster thing be like the thing you're like, wow, I didn't know that was coming. I mean, they did that with War Machine. I did not know he was coming at the end. That was awesome, you know, but it was, could have been, where was Falcon? I think he could have been there too.
No, I agree with, I would have loved to seen him flying around.
Especially since his job is para rescue.
Yeah.
That's actually really true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and another scene that was ruined by the trailers was when Scarlet Witch came out for the first time as an Avenger.
Yeah, that was totally, totally ruined on every trailer, actually, I feel like. Every trailer showed her coming out of those doors. I was like, well, we know she's coming out of the doors. Like, we saw it happen. You can stop your speech now, Hawkeye. We know it's coming.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like I said, I loved seeing the Hulk and the Hulkbuster go at it, and that whole thing with Veronica I thought was pretty cool.
I thought that was a nice added touch.
Yeah, I mean, did you guys know that where Veronica comes from, that it's actually kind of like a nod to the Archie comics? Because in Archie comics, the two girls that were always going after Archie were Betty and Veronica.
Oh, and Veronica was Betty. I did not catch that reference, but that's
cool. Oh, man, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, that really does.
Yeah, that was pretty cool when I found that out.
Huh.
But yeah, no, that was a great fight. I mean, it went on longer than I expected, and I love that, because the more the better. And I was kind of surprised he knocked him out, though.
He would never have. You can't knock out the Hulk. Like, I think maybe what was helping is that he was trying to turn back into Banner because he realized the destruction, like, he wasn't crazy anymore.
Yeah.
But in the Hulk just gets angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier, and you're just making things worse unless you could calm him down by not punching him, you know? So the fact that he was knocked out was a nice way to transition and get us going to the next part, but that fight would have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
And if we want to, in the quotation, real world comic book universe.
All right, one thing I wanted to ask you guys is, did you notice that some of the pieces just didn't fit together in the movie? That it felt like something was missing?
Yeah. I mean, there were scenes we saw in trailers that were cut, like the lady with the lake part, with the Ragnarok dream with Thor. That was cut. It seemed like there was harsh transition sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I caught too. I felt that, like, when I said earlier about how they started characterization and then they kind of cut it short, they didn't go far enough. That's kind of how I felt. We had a little bit of slowdown moment, and then it just kind of ended a little bit too quickly, too abruptly. And I'm wondering if this is all the stuff that's in this extended edition they're already talking about to put that extra 40 minutes back in. That it might be a smoother movie with that in, although it would be a longer movie and it would have longer periods of slowdown within the action.
Yeah.
It just felt like Whedon didn't have Final Cut this time.
100%. It's exactly what it feels like. It feels like they were like, we want more action, cut the words. And you're like, but Whedon's words are great.
No, you see, now I think he could have cut all of that Hulk Banner, I mean, the Hulk and the Scarlet Witch stuff.
That might not have been his cut, though. It might have been like, they're like, well, we got to have more Scarlet Witch in here. Make her have a romance with someone. You know, I know that, like, the Ant-Man movie, Edgar Wright's no longer directing it because Marvel was being real pushy about making sure it was connected, and they're putting the stuff in there. So even that article about the fact that the Ragnarok stuff had to be in here makes sense, you know, when you think about all the other stuff that's been going on. And we can complain about it, but we could also just say it was a great action movie, and then the Blu-ray will be the best movie. And we could just be happy with that. You know?
We still don't know for a fact that they're going to have an extended edition, because they rarely put out extended editions with their Marvel movies.
No, they definitely said that there's going to be several cut scenes from this, because there's a famous Loki scene that everybody was talking about that got cut. It definitely felt disjointed at times, the film.
Carol Danvers, right, was supposed to be in it too.
They won't have her in it, though.
She was never cast in time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Disappointing.
Yeah, they kind of... He filmed plates where they would basically insert her scenes, and they were around the time when War Machine showed up in the battle with Ultron. And also at the end, instead of showing Scarlet Witch floating in the air, you would have saw Captain Marvel for the first time. Yeah.
Wow. That would have been a heck of a way just to introduce her, like, out of nowhere. Like, who's this other flying lady that's going around saving people?
I see, and I thought about that. I thought what they could have done was they could have had at that party, that she showed up and Tony said, "Hey, everybody, this is Carol, so-and-so," and she just talked for a bit. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the battle with Ultron, she just shows up in costume as Captain Marvel, and he's like, "What the hell?" You know?
Yeah. That'd be cool, I think, or even just introducing there so that you believe in this universe that all these guys know, that she's this other superhero, but the audience doesn't know until she shows up to help, because she doesn't, she's not an Avenger, but she's a superhero, you know, which does happen in the Marvel Universe, obviously, so it would have been cool, but we won't get any of her till later. We won't get any of Stephen Strange. Supposedly there might be some Stephen Strange in Defenders. We might get him there, but...
Well, I mean, the second that they mentioned Wakanda, I'm like, Black Panther is where now? He should be here because you took his vibranium and he's here. And right now? And no, but now? And soon?
That's kind of the same argument you had where people were like, well, what if they, you know, what if they have Spider-Man in something? I was like, then where was he? Like, if they, you know, if they had the same actor as Spider-Man or something, you'd be like, then where was he in Avengers 1? Just eating a pizza? Like, New York was under attack. Like, he would have been there.
Maybe he was too young at that point in time if they're younger Spider-Man, yeah.
Which is why they have to do that, and that's why it's understandable, and we get that now. But when people were like, why couldn't they just have him, you know, there, like, seeing the stuff? Like, because then he would be a wimp, and he wouldn't have been helping. That's why you can't have him.
I mean, didn't we talk about, like, Spider-Man, and I'm breaking my own rule here, and wasn't there, like, a brief glimpse of Spider-Man swinging by in the Hulk versus Abomination fight?
I don't think so. I mean, that movie did have a Captain America part in the alternate opening, but I don't think that they went any further than that. I think they were already knowing they were trying to do this Marvel Cinematic Universe thing, and it would have been weird to have... I mean, it would have been cool, I guess, because you would have assumed that Spider-Man was just saving people that were getting messed up, but, I mean, I'll go back and watch that frame by frame if I have to, just make sure that's not a real thing.
You go ahead and do that, and I'll appreciate your time.
The time for that. But yeah, so, anyway...
Yeah. Alright, so what we're going to do, though, is we'll just end it on here with the spoilers, and we'll just go into it. What would you rate it out of 5? I'm going to tell you right now, I did a review on WDWNT, and I rated it as 3.5 out of 5. I changed it at the very end to a 0.5 because I was worried that people were going to think I was too harsh on it. Because I didn't feel it deserved a 4, but I also was kind of iffy if it deserved a 3, so I just went 3.5.
It's too harsh, Joe.
Maybe.
I'll just say I can get 5 out of 5 for me. All the 5 stars. You get all the stars. I enjoyed that movie. I don't see movies twice in theaters very often. I saw Avengers 1 3 times, and by this weekend I'll probably end up seeing this one 3 times. So I this is a movie that I feel like deserves to be in IMAX 3D. It deserves to see on the big screen, and I loved every minute of it. So I can complain about the little things, but those are such little things in comparison to the whole as a great, fun movie to go see.
I'm in that 3.5 to 4-star range because it had flaws, and I could see the flaws, we discussed simple ways to have made them better that, you know, had to have come up, and they just didn't because, you know, this is the middle piece of a 20-movie picture, like a 20-movie deal. So they just had so much coming before that they have to talk about, so much coming after they have to talk about. It kind of lost this movie into that.
I mean, I'd give it a solid 4 overall. I liked it a lot. I thought it was very good. There were little things in it that I thought kind of pulled me out of it a little bit. And I mentioned the things that I thought that would have stopped it from being a 5. But I thought it was a really good, solid superhero movie. I thought it was terrific. I thought Captain America Winter Soldier, that was a solid 5. The first Avengers was a solid 5 because it had never been done before. We've never seen anything like that before in a comic book movie. But this was a good, solid film, I thought. And I thought in a lot of ways it stood on its own, and it can stand on its own, even though it's still part of this whole mega universe that they're building. But like I said, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good, a pretty solid movie.
I will put it firmly in that 3.5 range. I think that's the perfect rating for it because, you know, 3 is average, and I definitely think it's much better than average. My big issue is that I felt like this was just a prequel. That's kind of how I felt. It was a prequel to Civil War. It was a prequel to Infinity War. I felt like the stories that they were telling here will be finished being told in years. I don't think we got the end of any story other than Ultron's. And, you know, before everybody was saying it, you know, where would you rank it in your top? It does not crack my top 10 of movies. So, but I enjoyed it. I would love to go see it again. Great popcorn flick, great humor, fun action. So, yeah, you know, just 3.5. Well done, Joe. You nailed the rating.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Especially coming from you, because we never agree.
No.
All right, with that, this will be the end of the Avengers Age of Ultron Roundtable and the end of Episode 4 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. And I wanted to thank everybody for participating. Especially, I'd like to thank Taylor Catcher. And Taylor, could you tell us where people could follow you or find you?
Sure, you can find me on Twitter at TCatch, that's TK4TCH, or you can follow, like I do, a couple podcasts, one about video games, one about comic books, and you could follow everything to do with that at CBXCasts, that's CBXCASTS, on Twitter, or just go to the website, which is CBXCasts.com, and everything's there.
Yeah, and I wanted to thank Jack, too, for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, it was a good time.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that you guys came on. You are both like a huge wealth of knowledge, and you really added to the podcast, and again, want to thank you both.
Well, I mean, they also were there at the dawn of Nerd Alert, so they deserve to have a curtain call.
That is true. They're like the Pete Best of Nerd Alert.
Thanks a lot.
Nice.
I'm a golden oldie. Great.
Well, we appreciate, I mean, I know I appreciate, and I'm sure Jack does too, that inviting us on and being able to talk about this, because it was fun. Like, I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed talking to you guys. So.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so that's it, guys. Thanks for joining us, and we hope that you join us next time. Later.